Exodus chapter 17. And our text for this morning is the verse 12. Exodus 17 and verse 12. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. My subject for this morning, and you can see it in that text that we just read, our subject for this morning is giving a helping hand. In the Lord's work, we always need helping hands. Moses needed a helping hand there as he stood on that hill or sat on the mount with hands raised towards heaven. Our reading today began with the words, "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim." Mark the word, "Then came Amalek." The Amalekites were descendants of Esau. In fact, Amalek was a grandson of Esau. We know that from Genesis 36 and verse 12, where we read, "And Timnah was a concubine of Eliphaz, Esau's son, and she bare to Eliphaz Amalek." So Amalek descended from Esau. Esau will always be remembered as the man who sold his birthright for a mess of pottage, indicating to us Esau was a fleshly individual. Sold his birthright for a mess of pottage, and in so doing, we're told in Genesis 25 and verse 34, he despised his birthright. It is interesting that the name Amalek means warlike. So Moses never considered compromising or trying to enter into some kind of an agreement with Amalek when Amalek came against Israel there in Rephidim. I said to take notice of the word "then" in the verse 8, because God had just supplied Israel with water when Moses smote the rock, and out of that rock came the water. And as we noted in our study, the rock speaks to us of Christ. And when Israel had enjoyed that time of the water coming from the rock, and everything seemed well, we read, "Then came Amalek." Just then. That's when Amalek came and attacked Israel. He wages war against Israel. That simply reminds us of our Amalek, our warlike oppressor, an enemy, namely the devil. While Amalek waged war against Israel, Moses was not interested in coming to any agreement with Amalek to prevent any further fighting. No. He ordered Joshua to go out and to fight with Amalek. That's what we must do with our enemy. We must fight our enemy. And so while Joshua went out with sword and fought Amalek, Moses went up into the mount. And there Moses would intercede on the behalf of Joshua and the men of war down in the plains of Rephidim. But Moses wasn't alone on the mount, because we're told that he was given a helping hand by Aaron and Hur. So there was Moses, there was Joshua, there was Aaron, and there were Hur. And they were all together in the battle. Joshua with the sword, Moses, Aaron, and Hur on the mount, interceding for Joshua in the battle. Each one needed a helping hand. Moses needed a helping hand, which he received from Aaron and Hur. Joshua needed a helping hand, which he received from Moses, Aaron, and Hur when they were on the mount. The Lord's work always needs helping hands. We see here the work was not left to Moses alone. He had the help of Aaron and Hur. And Joshua was not left to battle the Amalekites alone. He enlisted soldiers, and they helped him, and Moses helped through his intercession. So that's our subject today, giving a helping hand in the Lord's work. I want first of all to consider Moses and the attack. We see that it was Amalek who fought with Israel. So the Amalekites initiated this attack. That's what it says. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel and Rephidim. First thing we notice here regarding this attack is that it was a sudden attack. A sudden attack. It came without warning. Amalek came against Israel without any warning. There is no indication that Israel was prepared for this attack. But isn't that so typical of the enemy of the Lord's work? He will often use the element of surprise. This is typical for us, or typified for us rather, in an event which took place in the life of Paul. Would you turn with me, please, to Acts chapter 27. And this just typifies for us how the devil will come against the work of God using the element of surprise. When all this seems well, suddenly the devil comes with his attack. You look there in Acts 27. Acts chapter 27. You go down there to verse 13. Context says that Paul is a prisoner and he's being transported in a ship of Alexandria. And we're told that as they traveled, verse 13, and when the south wind blew softly. It's an interesting phrase. When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close to Crete. So they set sail. Why? Because the south wind blew softly. All's calm. But the next verse. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And you follow that reading through, and you will see that they suffered shipwreck. And all on board, with the exception of Paul, believed they were going to lose their lives. But the point is, they set sail with the south wind blew softly. There was no sign of trouble. Everything was calm. Then the next verse says that suddenly there came the great wind Euroclydon. and disturb the peace. The devil does the same thing. When we experience, as it were, the south wind blowing softly, that's the time to watch out. That is the time to be alert. That's when the devil will come. That's when our Amalek will attack us. We need to be alert. Not what Peter said. 1 Peter 5 verse 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. That's what we need to do. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, your Amalek, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The lion walking about, restless, never lies down. The devil never lies down. He's always restless. And so Peter says, be sober, be vigilant. We notice not only that it was a sudden attack, this attack of Amalek upon Israel, it was a subtle attack. If you turn, please, to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 25. And there we read in verse 17. Mention is made here of that attack by Amalek. Verse 17. Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way when ye were come forth out of Egypt. How he met thee by the way and smote the hindermost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou was faint and weary. And he feared not God. When did Amalek attack? When the children of Israel were told, faint and weary. And Amalek attacked Israel from the hinder part, came behind. Didn't face them, face on, no, came from behind. Just like the devil. So he does. He never comes face on. No, he comes behind. He's subtle as a serpent. That's what he is. Another reason why we need to be vigilant. And so he attacked Israel from behind. And they attacked them when they were weakest, at their weakest point. That's what the devil does. You recall when the Lord Jesus spent 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, been tempted of the devil. 40 days and 40 nights. Christ we know is God, we know he's man. He hadn't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. Being man, he would have been hungry. As on other occasions he was hungry, on other occasions he was thirsty, because he's man. But 40 days of temptation in the wilderness, and what was the first temptation that Satan brought against the Lord? Matthew 4, verses 1 to 4. The first temptation that he brought before the Lord was, turn these stones into bread. Tempted the Lord to turn stones into bread, Satan knowing that the Savior would have been hungry. And that's how he tempted him. That's the subtle way of the devil. When we are at our weakest, maybe physically, certainly spiritually, that's when Satan will come against us. He's our Amalek. And in the Lord's work, when things aren't going well and you're disappointed and discouraged and you're down and you're almost out. So Satan does. Satan comes then. What does he say? Ah, you may as well give up. You may as well pack it in. When we're faint and weary. As the children of Israel were faint and weary, that's when Satan came. That's when Amalek came. Jeremiah experienced such a thing in his ministry. For in Jeremiah 20 and verse 9, people wouldn't listen to his ministry. And what did Jeremiah say? I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. In other words, Jeremiah was saying, I'm giving up. That's it. Nobody's listening. Nobody's giving any attention to the word that I speak. And he spoke about the Lord Jehovah, the God of Israel, and nobody listened. And he says, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. But thankfully the verse doesn't end there. And Jeremiah didn't end there. But he went on to say, the word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. In other words, Jeremiah said, the fire of God's word burned in my heart and I couldn't hold back. I had to preach. I had to declare the word. Well, Jeremiah went on preaching God's word. But you can see how he felt like giving up. I'll not make mention of the Lord's name anymore or his word. He was at his weakest. That's when the devil comes. But not only was this a sudden attack and a subtle attack, it was a satanic attack. This was an attack of Satan upon Israel in the form of the Amalekites. Any attack that is waged against the people of God or the work of God is satanic. And Amalek's attack was no different. We're told in Deuteronomy 25, verse 18, those verses we read, and verse 18 finishes with the words, that Amalek feared not God. No fear of God before the eyes of Amalek. But there's something else here. In Exodus 17, the portion we have read, look there, verse 16. For he said, we might read verse 15 to get the context. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. The words that we have there in verse 16, we look at the original. And we see how this turned out to be a satanic attack. The words that we have there in verse 16 that we just read may also be rendered the following way. The hand of Amalek is against the throne of the Lord. The words in verse 16 may be rendered that way. The hand of Amalek is against the throne of the Lord. Or it can also be rendered the hand upon the throne of the Lord. So the hand of Amalek was against the throne of God. That tells me this was a satanic attack. This was a work of the god of this world. The attack upon Israel was actually an attack on Israel's God. It was an attack against Israel's God. He feared not God, remember. And his hand was against the throne of God. And who was he attacking? He was attacking God's people, the Israel of God. We need to learn from what took place there in Rephidim. As we've said already, any attack against the people of God or the work of God is a satanic attack. It's attacked by the devil. We face a formidable enemy. So we all need to give, as it were, a helping hand in the work, to see the work go forward and to see our God glorified and to stand up for the God that we love and we worship and we adore, because the world is against our God, and every attack against the Church of Jesus Christ and against the people of God is from hell itself. And so we see here was Moses, and there was Aaron, and there was Hur, and there was Joshua, and they all labored together to defeat this Amalek and to overthrow this satanic attack against them. They all had a hand in the work. We all must have a hand in this work, in the Lord's work, and resist the attacks of the devil. So we see Moses and the attack. We press on and see Moses and his action. On previous occasions when Israel was in a time of crisis, Moses knew what to do. That's why he's the man of God that he was. He knew what to do. He prayed. Every time there was a crisis in the camp of Israel, Moses went to the place of prayer. Children of Israel never thought of doing that. All they thought about was criticizing Moses. But Moses took his burden to the Lord in prayer. Here Israel faces another crisis. And once again, this man of God knew what to do. First of all, we see his preparation. His preparation. Moses wasted no time in making preparation for the conflict with the help of others. Verse 9, Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight Amalek. Notice what Moses said. Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men. In other words, Moses was making clear, we're in this together. Choose us out men. Didn't say that, choose you out men. No, he said, choose us out men. We're in this together. Choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand upon the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Moses knew what to do, and there was his preparation. Notice first of all the order for Joshua. Moses gave Joshua an order. An order was, go out and choose us men, and go out and fight with Amalek. That was his order. Now there's something interesting here. This is the first mention of Joshua in the Bible. It's the first mention of Joshua being in the camp of Israel. And you think of all of the things that have happened up until this point, the call of Moses and Aaron, all the plagues, the crossing of the Red Sea, the crisis that they had faced with no food and no water. Joshua wasn't mentioned until now. It was as if Joshua was in the background the whole time. He was there. Obviously Moses knew he was there because that's who he sent for. But all that while, Joshua was there in the background. Never heard his name mentioned until now. Now, it was time for Joshua to come out, as it were, from the shadows and put his hand to the work, giving a helping hand. Now it was time for Joshua to begin his great career, as it were, because he was a great soldier and a great leader and a great captain. And here he is, beginning with his fight with Amalek. There was a need to be met. There were the Amalekites to be faced. And Moses sent for Joshua. Joshua wasn't a Moses. Joshua wasn't an Aaron. Joshua wasn't a Hur. But he could play his part as commander of Israel's army. Isn't that so typical of the Lord's work? Not all are called to serve in the mission field. We're not all missionaries going off to some far off land. We're not all called to occupy a pulpit. We're not all be office bearers in a church. But there's a work to be done. There's always something each person can do, no matter who they are. Every person in the work of God can give what? A helping hand. They give a helping hand. You turn to Romans chapter 16. And there in Romans 16, Paul, tremendous chapter. I love reading through Romans 16. There's Paul closing his letter to the church at Rome. And he's mentioning all those who were helped him along the way in his ministry. And you look at how they helped. They weren't all preachers. But they all had give a helping hand to the Lord's work. Look there in verse 1. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church. She's a servant of the church. She wasn't a minister. She obviously wasn't an office bearer. But she was a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. That ye receive her in the Lord as become a saint, that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. Listen, for she hath been a succourer of many, and of myself also. A succourer. What does that mean? The word means an encourager. That was her work. That's how she served the Lord in the church. She was an encourager, a succor of many, Paul says, and of myself also. She often came and encouraged me as she encouraged others. Look at verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila. What did they do? They were helpers. Just what we're talking about this morning, giving a helping hand. There we have Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. And so there, as far as Priscilla and Aquila were concerned, many churches benefited from their service. They weren't preachers or missionaries. They were helpers. That's what they were. You look at verse 5. Likewise greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruit of Achaia with Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. See? There wasn't a preacher among them. But they all helped. They all helped to further the cause of Christ. Phoebe, an encourager. And don't our missionaries need encouragement? Don't the servants of the Lord need encouragement? And here you have Joshua, who we hadn't heard of before, and now he's to the fore, and he's putting his hand to the work. You have the order for Joshua, then you have the obedience of Joshua. We see how Joshua responded to the order of Moses. And Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. Here was the opportunity for Joshua to put his hand to the work, and when he was asked to do something, he did it. And Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. Does that not show the willingness of Joshua to play his part in defeating Amalek and furthering the cause of Jehovah? He did what he was asked to do. He didn't argue. He didn't make any excuses. He didn't show any reluctance. He did as Moses had said unto him. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. We have there the words, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it. Do it. Do it with thy might. Do it with all your strength. That's what Joshua did. He went out and he fought against Amalek. He put his hand to the work. As well as the preparation, we see also the praying. Joshua's work involved fighting Amalek on the plain of Rephidim. Moses would engage himself in another part of the battle. Verse 10, so Joshua did as Moses said to him, and fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Here we have Amalek, or here we have Moses, Aaron, and Hur. Notice the three men went up the hill together. Moses Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. They all went up together. Why? Because they're all in it together. They were in this battle against Amalek. They were in it together. Whenever Moses went up there to that hill and lifted up his hands toward heaven, that was emblematic of prayer and supplication being offered to God. We know that from other portions of Scripture. Psalm 28 and verse 2, "Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands." That's what Moses was doing. The Apostle Paul said, 1 Timothy 2, verse 8, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting." Isn't that what Moses did? Moses said, "I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand." And he lifted up his hands toward heaven. What was he doing? He was praying. He was praying for Joshua down there in the valley or in the plain of Rephidim as he fought with sword and shield. And Moses was interceding on his behalf. They went up the hill. Moses, Aaron, and Hur. See, prayer will always bring you to higher ground. Prayer will always take you to higher ground spiritually. Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to higher ground. Also Moses standing on the top of the hill with his hands lifted up to God in prayer. You think of what Joshua saw. There's Joshua in the plain of Rephidim. We pointed out the other week, Rephidim means a plain. And there's Joshua, and he's down on the plain and he's fighting against Amalek. And all he has to do is look up. And he looks up at the hill. What does he see? He sees Moses standing with hands raised to heaven. Knowing that he was interceding for him. Boy, what an encouragement that it would have been for Joshua. Just to know there was a man on that hill who was interceding for him, who was praying for him as he fought with Amalek. Only those who are engaged in the Lord's work and doing battle with the devil and the power of evil know how encouraging it is to have people, God's people, praying for you. Only those involved in the work and in the forefront of the battle know what that's like when someone says, "Brother, I'm praying for you. Sister, there in the mission field, I want you to know, I pray for you every day." I've had folk tell me that. I go home to Ulster and I go around preaching around the churches and there's people meet me at the door and that's what they say. "I pray for you every day. I pray for your work there in Port Hope." They've never been to Canada, never mind Port Hope. But they pray for us every day. I tell you, that gives you a lift. And it must have given Joshua a lift when he saw Moses standing there on the hill with hands raised to heaven, knowing Moses, the man of God's praying for me. Remember what Paul said again there in Romans, in the chapter 15. I beseech you. Paul likes to use the word beseech when addressing God's people. Romans 15, verse 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, for the sake of the Lord, not just for me, for the Lord's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Paul evidently appreciated the prayers of God's people. That word beseech, I beseech you, brethren. That word beseech means to call to one side, to call someone to your side. Just the way you're lifting a heavy object, you call someone, come over and give me a hand. You call them over to your side to help you. That's what Paul was asking for of the believers. I beseech you, brethren, will you come to my side? Will you pray for me? Will you stand beside me in your prayers? That's what he's saying. We pray for a missionary. When we pray for Miss Joanne Greer in Liberia, when we pray for her, what are we doing? We're standing beside her. We might never be in Liberia, but through prayer, we're standing beside her. We're really saying, Joanne, we are with you. We're right beside you. When you pray for your minister, that's what you're saying. You're saying, brother, I'm standing beside you. I'm with you in this battle. I'm with you as you preach the word. I'm standing beside you. Now Moses did not let Joshua go it alone. There he was fighting the Amalekites. But he wasn't in the battle alone. Moses was with him. Moses was with him. Moses said that he would stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in his hand. In our study of Moses, we have noted that the rod of God is the symbol of God's power and authority. And Moses goes up that mountain, up that hill, and he has the rod of God in his hand, and he's interceding on the behalf of Joshua and the children of Israel, and he's able to do so with the power and the authority of Almighty God. Amalek could not have won that battle, because there was a man on the hill praying with the power and the authority of God. And when we pray, that's the power and the authority that you and I have when we pray. We have the power and the authority of Almighty God. We're bound to win the battle. We're bound to defeat the enemy. And how Joshua must have been encouraged. We notice as well as the preparation, we press on quickly, there's the praying, and then there was the problem. As Moses stood there on that mount with uplifted hands in prayer, we see Moses' hands were heavy. That speaks to us, first of all, of his weariness. Would this not remind us of the words of the Saviour in Luke 18, verse 1? And the Lord said, men ought always to pray and not to faint, not to grow weary. But keep at it. Keep at the praying. You may grow weary, but keep at it. So the Saviour recognized the weakness of the flesh, but exhorts us to pray on. And Moses experienced that weakness and began to faint. His hands grew heavy. So it was hard for God's servant to stand on the mount and to pray alone, interceding on behalf of Joshua. Paul says in Galatians 6 and verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Weary and fainting. Common problems in the Lord's work. Growing weary, fainting, because of the heat of the battle. There's the weariness and there was the war. Because we're told there in verse 11, and it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. So while Moses stood on that mount with raised hands, Israel prevailed against Amalek. But when he grew weary, his hands were heavy, and they came down, then Amalek prevailed. The Lord's work suffers because we let down our hands. That's when Amalek prevails. When we let down our hands in prayer, then Satan prevails and God's work suffers. As well as the preparation and the praying and the problem, there was the partners. It's interesting that when Moses went up the hill to pray, Aaron and Hur went with him. So pointed out, they were in it together. An indication that they were with him in the battle, they were all in it together. Likewise, in any aspect of God's work, we're in it together. We're all fighting the same common enemy. And we read then in verse 12, and Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. What were they doing? Giving a helping hand. One on the one side and the other on the other side. If you look there at those verses, 11 and 12, you'll find the word hand or hands mentioned five times. As though to emphasize, they were all giving a hand. Five we know is the number of grace. And by the grace of God, we can all give a helping hand. Whatever we put our hand to, we can be partners in the work as the Aaron and Hur were partners with Moses. They didn't leave Moses to battle on his own or Joshua to lead the soldiers against Amalek. They all gave a helping hand as they sought to overthrow the enemy and advance the cause of Jehovah. Moses helped Joshua through his prayers. Aaron and Hur helped Moses as he prayed. And they all helped in the cause of God. They all gave a helping hand. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15 and 16, ye also helping together by prayer for us. In Acts 26 and verse 22, we obtain help from God. Just one point left, and you notice the perseverance. We see that Moses, Aaron, and Hur prevailed and persevered in prayer until they gained the victory. We're told in the verse 11, and it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. They kept at it until the victory was won. Didn't matter what time of the day it was. They kept going, kept praying, kept helping, and holding up Moses' hands in prayer until the going down of the sun. They persevered. That's what we need to do, dear people of God. Here we are at the close of another year. We thank God for His goodness and what He has done for us and how He has encouraged us in 2019. We need to persevere. We need to keep at it. There's a work to be done. There are souls to be saved. We need to keep at it till the going down of your Son and the going down of my Son. They prevailed because we are told Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. They all gave a helping hand and they all enjoyed the victory. I'll not take time with the last point, but you notice as well as the attack and the action, Moses and the altar. Moses built an altar to God. You have the book. And put in the book what had taken place. The Lord told Moses, record in a book what has just taken place and rehearse it, or put it, as it word means, put it into the ears of Joshua. It'll be encouragement for him in the days to come. There's the book, there's the building of the altar. They marked the spot where God had given them the victory. And there was the banner. He named the altar Jehovah Nissi, which means the Lord is our banner. So He is. Let us march behind that banner in the new year. The Lord is our banner. Jehovah Nissi. And we'll give a helping hand to further the cause of Christ here in Port Hope. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our dear Lord and eternal Father, we bless Thee for the victory. The victories that are won through prevailing, persevering prayer. How we thank Thee and take encouragement, Lord, from that scene there upon the hill. Moses having his hands held up by Aaron and Hur, they came to his side. And there down in the plains of Rephidim, Amalek was defeated. But thank thee, Lord, that there is victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our banner. Have us, Lord, as we go into the new year in thy will, to line up behind that banner and to march forward, following the one who has never known defeat, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, bless us now as we part the one from the other and we leave the house of God. May thy good hand be upon each one, Lord, as each one makes their way home. Give travelling mercy. And in thy will, Lord, be with us again tonight in thy house. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.